Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
In today's fast-paced world, a split second can be the difference between achieving your dreams...
Hey, I just won the Nobel Peace Prize!
...and not.
Oh, wonder if wrestling's on tonight.
More Americans are realizing if you don't have the latest and greatest technological devices, you will fall behind.
I didn't upgrade my personal organizer, and 2 days later I was diagnosed with a terminal illness.
That's exactly why you should come visit the friendly people at House of Tomorrow, and they'll set you up with all your 21st century technology needs.
I only spent $20,000, and now I can get email in the shower or surf the internet while I'm driving. I was bored stupid at my daughter's recitals and my son's Little League games. Thanks to House of Tomorrow, I can play wireless head-to-head 3D virtual reality poker literally anywhere.
If it's a flash-in-the-pan technology of absolutely no use to anyone, you can find it at House of Tomorrow. Remember, only technology makes life worth living. House of Tomorrow. We'll upgrade your system, then you can upgrade your life.
Shut up and sit down.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Third Shift. It's episode 394. And I, of course, am your host, your funky leader, the greatest man who's ever lived. It's me, it's Matt, and I'm pumped for the show because I had another thing to call Eric, but I've forgotten it now. Because, as always, we did like a 47-minute, like, hey, how's it going pre-show thing, and talk about work and say work's terrible and all this other stuff, and I've completely forgotten the thing. There was a whole gimmick, there was a whole thing. But instead, he's just the light bearer, bringer of the beast, master, third shift. Hey, Eric's here, everybody. How's your week, Eric? Woo, yeah, great.
That's terrible. How did you forget the new thing? Now I'm sad. What was it? What could it have been? Instead of going down the lane of sadness and work, I could have maybe, perhaps, got a really cool, fun new gimmick. Or maybe it's good for me, because maybe it was going to be bad. Maybe it was going to tease or taunt me, because I didn't work today, everybody. I took the day off. So he was probably like mad because I was not there and he had to go suffer. Could have been that. There's a lot of ways this could have gone.
It was something like he's the man who's excited because he's on the cusp. Like, he's the cuspinizer. He's on the cusp of the best time of his life.
Oh, that's
like, it's going to be a great weekend. He's going to do the great things. He's going to twirl the little sword and just plunge it straight into his eyeball. I had like a whole lineup gimmick, and it's all gone now, but that was the gist of it. Like, Eric's super happy today to tell you about the stuff because he's an excited man, and it's an exciting time for Eric.
Yeah, it's not. It's quarter end time, everybody. Woot woot. I work all weekend, work overnights. In fact, last night was my first night to start the transition. Made it to about 12:30-ish in that range. Not too shabby, considering usually 9:30, 10 is my latest bedtime. Tonight, I got to try to go to at least 2 or 3. I'm hoping for 3. And then, of course, segue into the full night because you have no choice because I'm actually going to be working at that point. So we'll see how it goes. And the coolest part is, everybody, if you didn't know, starting tonight, I get to sleep in my camper because I've got family visiting and I got to be able to sleep, you know, for long periods of time. But we're going to have like 5, 6 kids running around the house, several adults, all getting ready for a birthday party that's on Saturday and then Easter Sunday. It's a whole thing. And I'll be working all the way through it, hanging out in the camper like some kind of stranger. I've already got it all plugged in. I've already got everything working and went ahead and went out there and got it all charging and ready. In fact, as soon as the show's over, I got to go start the heater up. So when I do get into it properly at about 8:30 tonight, it's nice and toasty and everything's rocking and rolling. I'm camping in my yard, just like, you know, when you're a kid, you know what I mean? You got the tent out, you went in the backyard. I'm doing that and as an adult in my camper.
I'll give you that. That's at least a good analogy, a good memory, a good, you know, way back. I was just going to say, he's a stranger in his own home now. He isn't even allowed in his own home. You can come in and cook, and then you got to get out.
Back
you got to go and sleep in the camper.
Go live in the camper. You know, it's not that bad. The only thing I have tested on my phone, but not on the actual PlayStation and laptop, was the internet connection. There were 2 bars with a phone from the house. So there was internet connection, 2 bars in there. So I'm praying and hoping that that PlayStation has the same oomph to grab that signal so I can be online and watch some anime, because I don't think I can just play Final Fantasy VII Rebirth all the way till 3 in the morning. I'll probably fall asleep.
You just got to drive up real close. You got to back readjust, up so close
readjust
to the house.
So that thing. Touch it. Yeah,
what did you do? Nothing. Nothing.
It's fine. It's fine. It's
What's
fine.
The summer project? Oh, I got to redo the siding on that one side because I scraped the camper all along the house.
I wouldn't do that. But
I know.
You ain't, it's funny you say that because I did go, man, I got about 12 feet. I could just pull it forward, pull it back, get another 8 feet cut off of that distance from the house to the camper. 8 feet's gonna for sure give me signal. There's no way it doesn't. No way. And then just back it up so the window's aligned with the front window, which is right by where the router and everything is. So I'm like, that signal's just going right through that glass, right through the glass, right through that glass, right into this camper. And if you don't think I won't do it, folks, you're crazy, because I will. As soon as I get out there and I turn that PlayStation on, if it says nope, no signal, oh, you know I'm playing games. We're playing games. So we'll see how that goes, but I'm going to worry about that till a little bit later tonight. Other than that, this week has been pretty simple. Didn't go see a show. Was going to try to go see the Ghostbusters movie, but didn't work out. There's talks of seeing it tomorrow, but I have a feeling it's going to fall through just because there's so much stuff happening. Maybe not. We'll see. I won't, you know, sell it yet. So I didn't get to see a movie. I didn't really do much of nothing. I've just been working, cleaning, getting ready for this whole weekend. But I have played Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and of course I've talked about it on the old What You Playing, what's going on, everything, so I'm not going to elaborate. But I'll just tell you right now, I am in Cosmo Canyon, and I finally did something that got me something, and I'm happy about it. And you know what? Go listen to What You Playing if you want to know what I was trying to get to. But I was waiting because I'm a psychopath. Well, I got what I wanted. Feels good. Things are different though, Matt. There's a lot more interaction with the old crazy man there and stuff.
Bugenhagen.
Yeah, and I can't remember in the game, did he believe you in the game or not? Because in the this one now, he doesn't really believe what you're saying, and he's trying to teach you about the weapons and everything else. Or did you not talk to him at all?
Isn't he the one who told you, like, the whole story?
That's what I thought.
Like, there's the giant cutscene where it goes out into his planetarium gimmick.
Well, yeah, he does that part, but he doesn't believe you about the weapons. He says, oh, if only that were a thing. And I'm like, did we not, in the old one, did we not go and discuss with him about the weapons? Was that not a thing? But it had to have been, because Junon happened already, so they knew about the weapon.
And who else would know about weapons other than him? Because he knows about the life stream.
The whole life stream and everything else.
Thing.
So it's, yeah. I'm a little confused right now, and right now he's got me running around doing a bunch of classes. So I got a little bored last night while that was happening. You know, but mind you, it was late at night. It was way past when I normally stop playing video games and just let my brain turn off. Because I was trying to last longer, you know what I mean? So I was getting a little, okay, I'm tired of going to these dumb classes. I'm going to shut it off for tonight. Tonight, I intend to finish that. We'll see where it goes, see how it ends up. Either way, I'm very excited. Just because that game's been fantastic and nothing but good to me. Everything about it is just phenomenal. And that's it. I haven't done anything else. I've downloaded a bunch of other games. I've bought some other games in preparation for playing them, like Dragon's Dogma 2, you know, Unicorn Overlord, which I've talked about. I've already got the Persona 3 sitting there. Stellar Blade demo, which we'll talk about in a little bit, you know, coming up. So a lot of stuff happening. A lot of stuff should be going on. But that's the only game I've played. And no movies, no real life stuff, except for whatever I said, Matt. What about you?
I did a bunch of stuff this week, but almost all of it was like half good, half bad. So just kick back and relax. It's story time with Uncle Matt. I went and saw a movie. I went and saw Love Lies Bleeding. It was on Saturday, I think. And I wanted to see this movie because when I went and saw The Iron Claw months and months ago, this was a preview beforehand. And if you watch that preview, which I watched again today to remind myself why I went to see this movie, it's very cool. It's very stylish. It's got the 80s music going. This movie takes place in the 80s. It starts off with this really stark, stylish scene with Ed Harris, and he is like completely red, and everything behind him is black. And there's a couple of these little bits cut throughout the trailer. I'm like, okay, there's going to be a lot of really stylish stuff here. And then the movie is about Kristen Stewart, and she meets this bodybuilder girl, and all kinds of other hijinks happen and whatever. But there's also scenes in the trailer of the bodybuilder girl like flexing in front of a mirror, and then it like zooms in on her muscle and it like bubbles out like crazy. Like, okay, so there's going to be a lot of stylish stuff in here. And there's going to be a lot of weird stuff. There's going to be some weird stuff going on in this movie. So I went to see it. There are some stylish scenes. They're flashback scenes though. So they're not like actively happening. And then there are three weird scenes in this movie. and they're all like 30 seconds long. So for the rest of the runtime, it's normal stuff. And there's a lot of gross characters in this movie. Like ugly, gross characters. Now, I will say when I got to the second, the big weirdness scene, it's like towards the end of Act Two, and I really weird stuff happens. And I go, yes, I literally pumped my fist in the theater because I went, here's where it goes. It's going to go completely off the rails from here on out. And it didn't. And it made me sad. But like I said, overall, it's a fine movie, but it wasn't what I expected. And the movie starts, and this character is featured throughout the movie, but it starts with the ugliest character I've ever seen, the most disgusting character. And I'm not saying anything about the actress, because she's a pretty lady, but like the way she's costumed, like her hair is all greasy, her teeth are all brown, she plays this just... this character, and there's so many close-ups of these brown teeth and this greasy hair, and she's like a dirty character. Ugh. Oh, it's so gross. I had to like look away. I had to literally just like put my hand up. It was disgusting. But a weird movie, but not as weird as I wanted it to be. Stylish in some areas, but not nearly as much as I wanted it to be. So a half and half. Other thing that I did this week, went to the Wharton Center to see a group and a performance called Small Island Big Song, which was phenomenal. This group, I think it's like a whole like musical group, but it's a bunch of different musicians who have traditional roots to indigenous peoples from small islands in the Pacific, so like all around, and they play traditional instruments, but they all come together, and it was really cool. Like there's lots of singing, dancing, you know, traditional music like drum solos and stuff. It was phenomenal. That was great. The person who I was with did not have a great time. So there's the good and the bad, but I love that performance. It was great. The other thing they did was they had like a big video screen behind them. And so as they were playing their instruments, you know, this person got highlighted, you'd see tons of like drone flybys of stuff of like the beautiful landscapes of these islands. And it was one of those moments where, you know, like I said, when I played Microsoft Flight Simulator, when you think of the world, you think, oh, idiots and dummies and whatever. Look how beautiful this world is. Like there are places that are just completely unspoiled rainforest. There was a guy from Madagascar and they had like those weird trees that look like a giant root. And then they come out like all weird and flat on the top. It's like this whole row, this whole street that just went down and just all these trees. And I went, God, that's beautiful. It's crazy. Something you would never see in your entire life. So great performance. Then the next show I went to, Saturday night, went to the Wharton Center. Lansing Symphony Orchestra. They had a Masterworks concert. And one of the pieces they played was a Beethoven violin concerto. So they had a soloist up there going back and forth with the orchestra. But the thing is, I hardly remember anything of this show. Because sitting next to me was this older Asian lady, kind of tall lady, doing the very first solo. There were like two big solo pieces that person did, and then, you know, other symphony stuff was done. During the very first solo, the second piece of the show, no joke, for like 5 minutes, nonstop. And I go, oh, I'm not a germs guy. I'm not a germaphobe. I'm not a gross out guy. But I'm just like, what? You have to leave. Like when this happened, it even says in the program, like if you have problems, you should leave for the consideration of your fellow orchestra goers. So I'm the little temperature gauge. I'm a cartoon temperature gauge, and I'm filling up red. And she goes, she grabs a coat, which is one of those kind of coats. It's folded up in a square on her lap. She takes it and she starts turning it end over end. She does this four times. And then she does the thing where you tried to suppress a cough, but you make a weird noise. She keeps turning this coat over and over and over and over. Zip finally finds the pocket, which has just been on top because she's not turning it over. She's rotating it. Pulls out a cough drop. Oh, thank Christ. Puts it in her mouth. Cough stop. Okay, I'm starting to cool down. I'm starting to get less red. Then I feel a fumble. She's on my left side. I feel a fumble of a hand against my left leg. A fumble, fumble, a fumble, fumble. She comes up with a Kleenex. Okay. Wipes her mouth, spits some stuff out. But then I feel a fumble next to my leg again. Fumble, fumble, again. Fumble, fumble, again. Then I feel a fumble in the hand, and Eric's the only one who'll see this. Goes down next to my leg and makes a throwing motion, like underneath the seat. And I go, you can't just throw your used Kleenexes on the floor. You can't do that. You have a coat here with a pocket that's open. Now, I've had to use a Kleenex before. At the movie theater, at the show theater, you put it in your pocket. You put it in your pocket. You don't put it on the floor, or you put it in some other trash receptacle. She threw it on the floor. And then I keep feeling, she does it again. Does it again. I feel more fumbles. The first performance has now stopped. The first solo. They're going into the second solo. This happens again. And it happens again. I can't focus now, because all I can think of is that there's this growing mountain.
Snot rags.
Of phlegm and snot and trash under the seat. And did she throw it under my seat? Maybe she threw it under my seat. And now, what am I going to do? What am I going to say to this person? What's going to happen? They get up. Yay. Intermission time. Hooray. Great solos that I can't remember anymore because of this happening. I look down. There's one right there, just barely even under her seat. It's so like wet and smashed down. I can see the brown and yellow fluid coming through it. I'm not a gross out guy. I'm not a germaphobe. I was so disgusted. The seat next to Mom on my right-hand side is empty. I go, I need to move because I'm going to flip out. I'm going to lose it. She pays no attention to me, sits down, sticks her legs out. So I got to stumble over. I sit down. Now all I can think about is this. What's going to happen? Is she just going to get up and leave and this is going to be here? Am I going to have to go get it and go, ma'am, you dropped this? And I don't remember the rest of the show either. Now, granted, she did pick it up. First thing I did when I got up, I looked, it's gone. Okay. But you can't do that. You can't leave wet, snot, phlegm Kleenexes on the floor. You can't put it on the floor. Put it in another Kleenex and put it in your coat pocket. Oh. And then I realized afterwards, I went, I can never let this happen again. I need to completely turn my brain off when this happens. I mean, I did have to like literally close my eye on that side when she was fumbling all around and spinning her coat because it was so distracting. But oh, it was horrendous. Just awful. So there's the story of that one. Every single thing I did outside of the home, outside of the video games, half good, half bad, or not as good as I wanted it to be. Well, it was as good as I wanted it to be, though, was Unicorn Overlord. God damn, that game is great. The game is awesome. I have so many cool units, and I love doing every single thing in that game. I've got so many things, and I got so much stuff to do, and I'm not going to go into it because I've taken up a lot of time already. The other game that I did play last night, got in a stream of Persona 3 Reload, and I was like home. Like, the instant I got in and I heard that music, I was like, oh. And I said it on stream, and I think because I've been playing the very orchestral, very traditional Unicorn Overlord, the very Final Fantasy Tactics, going straight into stylish and modern and hip-hop and jazz, I was like, oh, I can't believe it. It's been so long since I've played it. I was overjoyed. So video game front, amazing. Real life front, don't ever leave the house again. Just play video games. That's the lesson of this week for Matt. Don't ever do anything ever again. Only play video game.
Yeah, I agree with that. That sounds legit, man. That sounds legit. And you know what? If you want to keep playing video games, I've got a game for you to keep playing. That's the Grandia HD Collection. And you might go, wait a minute. What are you talking about? This came out like 4 or 5 years ago for Nintendo Switch. True, it did. However, there were a couple issues, a couple little bugs. Never came anywhere else. At the time, I think they even said it wasn't going to. However, hey, almost 5 years later, it's here, developed by Game Arts and Sickhead Games, out right now as you're listening to this, probably, whatever, if not, it's 29th or whatever, is Grandia HD Collection. Why this means so much is because I wasn't gonna play on the Switch. Just wasn't going to happen. I got too many games on the Switch I don't play enough of as it is, but coming to PlayStation 5 and the Xbox, etc., this gives it an opportunity to get touched again, and I have nothing but great memories of this title. I mean, I got the Dreamcast, right? I was the buy-in for the original Dreamcast, well, the only Dreamcast day one purchase. All right, I thought Sega was taking it to the bank, and of course, what came out for that? Grandia 2. I got in that game, and I've said it before on a show previous talking about Grandia at some point. The battle system in that game was bar none, was the coolest thing ever since Cat's Milk. You had attacks, you had defensive skills and everything, and you had a bar down there that showed when the next person was coming up for their attacks or their turn in general. So you could take and do combos that would slow your enemies down or stop them right in their tracks or bring somebody else up to go ahead of them. Just the ways in which you could make the battle go your way just by this one little system, this timing system, was incredible. And they knew it, and so they used it for like boss fights, for everything. There were so many boss fights where you had to, oh, they're going to do the Tentacle of Orym. You can't let the Tentacle of Orym hit before the Shield of Aravia goes, period, or you're going to die. And you'd see them start tracking. Ch-ch-ch, stress levels rising. You're frantically going, what character has a stop? What has a slow? What's going on? Who can I jump ahead here? So you're trying, I got to get this character up to do his move that can stop that, so that way the shield hits before that tentacle hits. They did this throughout the entire game, and it was fantastic. So I can't tell you enough. I don't know why Grandia hasn't come back, but you can at least go play the HD collection. What did they do in it? Well, they took Grandia the original and Grandia 2, not 3, not any of the others, only 1 and 2, and they did the usuals. They upscaled it, cleaned it up, made everything softer, feel better. All the sprites have been completely redone. All of the little anime, you know, pictures and stuff for when they're talking and having their exposition, those have been redone. It runs at 1080p. It's all smooth and whatnot. If you wanted to go play an RPG from the past, that's fantastic. Or two of them, in fact, but especially two for me. These two titles, you're going to want to get your hands on in this one little box of Grandia HD Collection, because these are some RPGs for the books. They were fantastic and fun. One was a little more, like, you know, goofy and satirical. Two is a little more serious. You were actually playing like a bounty hunter and trying to save the world from the literal devil doing your thing. So if you want a little more fun, play one. If you want a little more serious, play two. But overall, I think two system was like perfected from what one established and started to put together. So I think it's a better title overall. But one and two are both very, very good. And I would highly recommend you check these RPGs out, because they shouldn't be left alone. And if we get enough people clamoring, man, maybe, just maybe, we'll see Grandia again in the future.
And I'll also jump in to say that these have been on PC forever, and I have them, and I still haven't played them, but they were going to be in this year of RPGs, but now there's way too much. But even when this came out, I saw it on the PS5, and I went, I want to get it physically to have it, because that's me, and that's how I am. So I will definitely back you up. Grandia HD Collection. I haven't played either of these two. I played 3, so I know how good the systems are and how good the stuff is. But I'm going to tell you, it's finally time. It's here. Pepper Grinder has arrived. As of today, as we're recording this, the 28th of March, developed by RH or RX, I have no idea. I've heard people say RH, so I'll just say that. Published by Devolver Digital, this is out for PC and Nintendo Switch. This is the game where you play as Pepper, a young girl who is marooned on an island. She gets all her treasures stolen away, but she finds this motorized drill, this giant drill. It's like as big as she is, and she goes vroom, 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 and use this drill for combat, for traversal, for great good times, for collecting all kinds of things and just zooming and like Echo the Dolphin spinning through stages, through the dirt, through this, through that, through the water, underwater, skipping over the water, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. You get a grappling hook so you could do all kinds of swing-a-dee-dees as you're drilling through and fighting the enemies. And there's not a lot to say. Like, watch some trailers, watch some gameplay. That's what you're going to get out of this game. And it's not a lot to say because it's a pretty short game. I think you have five, not stages, but like 5 environments. You got some stages throughout there. And the game itself is only going to last around 4 to 6 hours, like on a first playthrough. Once you beat all the stages, then you do get time attack modes. So speed running is encouraged and looks really sweet. The movement in this game looks so smooth and cool and awesome as you're drilling and you're making all these curves. And then as you get out of whatever you're drilling through, whether it's water or dirt or ice or sand or whatever, you can kind of shoot out. And you go on this beautiful arc into the next piece. And what I'll say, too, is that what I love is I watched somebody play through, like, World 1-1, like Level 1-1, the very first stage. And what I love is they've, in what I saw of that, they've built in secrets for, like, if you kind of come out of, you know, if you're supposed to come out of the dirt and sail on a 45 degree angle, essentially, into the next patch, they've made some secret areas in that level that I saw where if you come out at a suboptimal angle and you don't hit dirt patch, but you hit the wall over here, you hit a spot and it goes and drills out a whole secret area. So they've even thought about, if you're not great at the game, here's something that's going to make you feel a little better because you're going to get some gems from the secret area over here. And it looked like so natural. Like the guy just barely missed it, but then he sailed in this parabola down to whoom. It was a perfect setup. Like it was crazy cool, crazy good. Like I said, it's a pretty short game. You can use these gems for some cosmetics, some unlockable stickers for a little sticker album you can do. You can do the time attack modes. If you get, I think there are 5 extra coins you can find like hidden throughout each stage. If you get all of those, it unlocks a kind of a traversal-based stage for that world, which is kind of, you know, expert mode for your drilling, for your jumping, for your doing. Just looks like a lot of fun. Fun pixel art graphics, fun soundtrack, fun gameplay. It's only $15. What more do you want? A quick hit indie experience and just stylish and fun. Like I said, just watch some gameplay of it. Watch a review. Nothing else is going to look like this. Nothing else is going to play like this. Just seeing swirling around, grabbing up all the gems. If you love collecting stuff, this is the game for you. There's so many gems. There's so many little floaty things. Like I said, watching the reviews of it or watching that level 1-1 gameplay, I said it before when we talked about it. Man, they missed that one gem. I would totally circle back around. I've got to find a way to get the jump back over the other way so I can get that other one, because I'm a crazy collectathon fool. If you are like that, check this game out. Pepper Grinder. It looks like a ton of fun. Go check it out.
See, I was interested in this game as well, and the $15 price point really sells it. Just really sells it. Because as everybody always tells you, and I agree, $15, what's that? That's your movie ticket. 2 hours of entertainment. Does this game give you more than 2 hours of entertainment? Probably. Therefore, boom, it's an easy win, you know, and I just love that. I really do. I really do. Because some indie games that should only be $15 try to go for like that 40 price point, and that really bugs me. But this one, $15, there's no way you shouldn't pick this up. If you got even just a regular interest in this game, that's nothing. That's literally nothing for hours of entertainment.
And I've always said it. I've paid full price for games that I have not gotten 4 to 6 hours of fun out of, that have just been a slog or didn't connect with me or whatever. So 4 to 6 hours for $15, value proposition is great.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out, everybody.
Indeed. Now, a value proposition I got for you is, what's the value of PAX East anymore? I feel like something's lost, Matt, because PAX East came and went. It came and went. Happened. We've always, years, Matt, we talked about wanting to go to PAX East, you know, big cool event, playing all sorts of games, checking out titles, this and that. It seemed so exciting. But these last few years, it just happens, and I don't hear a word on websites, I don't hear a word on podcasts, except for the, hey, we're going to go to PAX East, and we're going to have this panel called Gorgogites of the Manhattan Project. Check it out. And then I don't even hear back about how the panels went. I don't hear any or see any place to go where it's like, hey, were you interested in this panel? It's right here. You can watch the whole damn thing. You got to, like, search for, like, if Rooster Teeth, well, you know, whatever, former Rooster Teeth done something, you'd have to go to there, and then you'd have to hope that they put them onto the YouTubes, which sometimes they don't. You know, some of these websites, they don't. Or they'll put it behind, like, a Patreon paywall for you to actually see the panel videos. But if, I don't know, man, I just don't, and I don't hear about game releases anymore, nothing like that, you know, coming, which it never was huge for game releases, but I feel like there was always, like, oh, hey, the top 10 cool indies we saw at PAX East, the top 10 big games we saw at PAX East. And unless you go searching now, it's not on the front pages of any of the big websites. You actually have to go in there, and it's like some subfile for some, you know, third-party guy they paid to do some stuff on PAX East. I don't know, just weird. I feel like it's changed. And I'm not saying it's obsolete or shouldn't be there, but I don't know. What do you think? Am I crazy, or has it always been this way? I don't remember it being this way.
I feel like you're crazy, but I want to say, you talking about value proposition, I thought you were segueing into a different topic, but it's not on your yeah. show notes. It's on my show notes. And I went, here he goes. He's doing it right. PAX East, what? Oh, man. Now, I will say, I feel the same way, because mm-hmm. it felt like before COVID, before pandemic stuff, PAX East was like the thing, and everybody would be posting up their stuff. Like you said, there were always panels. And in general, and I don't follow nearly as many video game outlets as you do, it was like, oh, PAX East was this week. All right, well, and then I never heard anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I did do my due diligence as soon as I saw it in the show notes. I went, okay. I went to Google and I said, top games from PAX East. And there are some websites that have them.
There are some that do it. Yeah, yeah.
One of which is Kotaku, which we should mention a little bit later, because Kotaku has their own big spiel going on right now. But I went on to, I think, Digital Trends, and they had like top five games. And a couple of them are games I'm interested in. One being Dustborn, because that's that game where words are power and you're kind of traveling around with a motley crew and this character can literally say the thing and it happens. And I went, hey, that game I remember. I hadn't heard anything about it since that reveal trailer. So I watched a little trailer of that. It looks fun. It looks cool. It looks right up my alley. It's kind of that indie game traveling around with a small band. It's kind of almost got that cell shading, almost Borderlands-y type looking characters. So that piqued my interest. And then I've been hearing good stuff about Lucid as well, which is a little like Celeste looking, but Metroidvania. So I didn't see much of that. I saw like some raw captured via a camera off of a screen that someone was playing. I didn't see too much of that, but there's two. I'll mention those two because Dustborn I have been interested in and apparently was a big hit there. And then Lucid was apparently a big hit, which I haven't seen anything about. So there you go. We got a little bit, a little bit. Hey, if you like smaller games, go check those two out. Big chapow.
And of course, Heartworm was one I was looking at and interested in, which is a throwback to original Silent Hill, Parasite Eve type horror, you know, survival horror games. And not, I mean, it's literal. Like, you're going to go, oh God, that's PS1. The graphics are way, you know, polygonal, mushy, crazy. But it felt right. It felt at home. The only thing I didn't like was this game is uses like a camera, like Fatal Frame, as your attacks to stop the horrors that are coming at you. I'd rather prefer just a more traditional route of you escaping using a gun or a melee weapon. But you know what? I can get used to it. I can get used to using a camera to stop these baddies. As long as it has that punch that those old survival games had of that just weird, creepy, strange crap happening, which from the trailers it looked like it did. I want to definitely watch this one. So, you know, I got one game out of there and I just feel like, you know, should be more. I want more. I want lots more.
I definitely agree with you. I want it to be the big thing that it used to be. And maybe it just is and nobody's reporting on it the way they used to. But I don't know. It doesn't feel that way. Since you're talking about PS1 horror games, I have known about this game for forever. You know about Signalis? Have you seen
it? Oh, yeah. I've kept meaning to try to get to it and just never did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But every time I see somebody talk about it, I go, Eric would love this game. Mm-hmm. This is an Eric-style survival horror PS1 kind of graphics, but cleaner. And, I mean, even the story sounds interesting to me. So when you were talking about it, I went, I got to remember what that game is because I've never said it to you, like, ever.
Yeah.
But I know that's something you would like.
Yeah, I've always meant to check out Signalis, but as we always talk about, you got a billion AAAs hitting, or AA's, whatever you want to call them, and I just can't get to it. Like I said, we got to quit jobs so we can get to these games. That's what we got to do.
And speaking of quitting jobs, hey, people from Kotaku have been quitting their jobs. I think it was the editor-in-chief quit his job recently, and it's because Kotaku, which I'm going to be honest, I'm going to be straight with you folks, I'm not a Kotaku fan. They do a lot of weird articles that I'm not into. Like, hey, this game that you thought was cool, it's actually terrible. Like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of stopped being a fan of them over the years, but apparently their parent company said, okay, you guys, we're not doing journalism anymore. You're doing guides, and you got to crank out like 50 guides a week. And everyone said, hell no, we don't like this. This is bogus. This is crappy. I worked on guides, and it was the most draining and horrible thing in my life, and I had to do like one a week, and it was bad enough for that. Now we got to do a million. So, very strange things going on at Kotaku. Like I said, I'm not a big Kotaku fan. If you are, I'm sorry, because I know this is a big shakeup that's going to be going on. But it's weird, too, because almost every website, if I'm looking for something in Unicorn Overlord, like how do I recruit this character that I saw as a side character on one stage? You come up with hits from every single website in history. IGN.
Game Informer, GameSpot, Game Trends.
Everything.
Verge, God knows who else.
And it's all the same. And it feels like AI written just drivel. Because it's like, oh, hey, if you're playing Unicorn Overlord, you know that it's important to recruit units. And the readers might be wondering, how do you recruit X unit? Because X unit could be an added unit to your units. And you put units in groups. And you have and it's like four paragraphs of nothing. And then one paragraph of the thing. So I get it. Because every site does it. So I guess every site should do it. But it's all so terrible and so, like, fluffed out with nonsense that it's just, I read this and I went, it makes sense in like the, I'm a businessman and this is what people search for. But as a reader of anything, I'm just like, not another one. Not another one where I got to scroll past 100 ads to see one thing where, oh, you get that guy after two more stages. You don't even have to do anything. You couldn't just put that at the top. I know you can't, but like, I don't know. There's a side tangent for me.
There's multiple things in this, though.
Every site does this, though. They all do it.
Every site does this, but they do this because it generates cash.
I know.
Because you're there for a specific piece of information. You're there to get that one tidbit. Well, to get you that tidbit, they need to make sure you see the four or five different ads while you scroll down to get to that tidbit. So therefore, they fluff out the article with something that may entertain you, maybe, most likely not, because you're just there to get the thing. How many button presses is it to do this? But that's just the way it goes. And then the other thing is, hey, you know what? There wouldn't be a reason they'd be stopping the journalistic portion if it made money. If their journalistic capabilities and abilities were so good that people were actually entertained and wanted to read those articles. They don't, obviously. They don't. There's more people like you and me than there are the other who want to read these bad takes on video games and whatnot through these individuals' journalistic skills. Sorry. The big man said, hey, you know what? We're generating more money off these little fluff articles and quick hit guides than we are off your articles. So we're going to just cancel that because it's a waste. And you're going to do 50 of these for us a week, which also I hear from other old school journalists is easy, is like fluff. It takes them like 2 minutes to do one of these things because it's just like you said. Most of it's just literary fluff. Boom, input information, put in a picture or two, send. It's off to the races. Doing 50 of these in a week should be a cakewalk, but then you heard them all getting very upset saying that was way too much and it's insane. So I feel like in general, maybe this Kotaku as a whole, I don't know, I feel like there's just a lot of deep-seated problems there. And there's a lot of other issues. A lot of people who maybe don't want to actually work hard, just want to kind of give their feelings and express their things or that they were doing through their articles. I don't know. Let it go. Just, you know what, Kotaku, just head out. Like you said, there's a million other places doing quick hit guides. We don't need it. Just sell your name and start over somewhere. I don't know.
And that's what people have been saying. And what people have been doing is, oh, I've started my own video games blog. I've started my own this. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a bunch of ex-Kotaku writers will get together and make their own little side site. But it's just, I feel like maybe that's been needed anyway. Because the Kotaku name, at least for me, in the video game journalism space, weren't they the ones that started this all with like when Call of Duty World War II became a thing again, they were kind of making fun of the Activision people for going out and researching the battlefields and getting the actual audio of the guns and all this stuff and saying, oh gosh, what a hard job it is. Oh gosh, you guys just take vacations and fiddle faddle around. And everybody had to jump in and say, you know, we, the actual techs who are doing this stuff, it's hard work and it's important because people value this stuff. Like, I feel like that was a Kotaku thing, and that's what started my just lack of interest in it, because it felt so disrespectful to a lot of aspects of the video game, the business that everybody loves, that creates these things, and they were just kind of like, ha, video games are stupid, we don't like it. And that's just the feeling that I got.
Mm-hmm. And also, in that, when you start attacking someone's role, hey, you know what, when they come back at you years down the road and start saying, well, maybe you're useless, you're getting what you got, you know what I'm saying? You gave it, now you're getting it. So, hey, suck it up, buttercups. Get out there and hustle. If you're good at what you do, maybe you'll end up somewhere else. But it's a tough market these days. Everybody's firing everybody. So you might end up at your local news station doing some articles in Kentonville, Carolina, or wherever the hell you live.
Hey, man, local news is pretty cool. Like, I would like to be on the news.
Hey, I should have done it. I mean, you know. I should have went news route. I'd love to be out there with my little mic interviewing people live. Hey, the storm came through. Hey, Jackson, Will, what'd you think of that? Oh, it'd be a great time.
I'd be the one in my suit with my, you know, my stage makeup on. Oh, gosh, thanks, Eric. Let's throw it to Billy Jim's over in sports. Oh, Chopper Dan, what's the traffic like today? Side tangent, local CBS station. They're like right next to the 496-127 interchange. Mm-hmm. So whenever they do a traffic story, they're always like, oh, I'm out here by the interchange. I'm like, you walked 5 feet down the road with the cameraman. You're just outside the building. You can see the building. You're not on location.
You're not on location. You're just outside. You went outside. Yeah. Look at you. Good for you. You did something.
You walk down by the subway so people can't see the subway in the shot, and you filmed over this way. It's great.
It is fun. What a good time. Maybe we'll see some of those folks in there in the future. Good luck to you. Godspeed. Kotaku, rest in peace, my friend. May everybody land on their feet, even if I don't like you, I guess. Whatever.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, find something that you are passionate about, that you do enjoy reporting on, because it seemed like video games weren't it for a lot of people.
Exactly.
I mean, Kotaku itself might still be around. Maybe Kotaku's like the cool guide place. Who knows? So.
Yeah, maybe they'll stop doing the fluff as much. And maybe all of a sudden it'll be a really cool, fun little thing to read while you're getting to that info. Maybe that's what they'll do. Surprise us all.
Or open it up for freelancers to write their guides. Who knows? But what else do we got to talk about, Eric? I know you got something else. And then we're going to actually talk about the thing that you were supposed to segue to with a value proposition.
Hey, you didn't put it in the notes or didn't save. I did. Whatever the case was. You know, you didn't save. So when I left, it didn't go back in. Otherwise, I would have done it proper chopper. But here we are. The little bit I was going to say is the Stellar Blades demo comes to all of us March 29th, everybody. And I mention this just because me and Matt are both excited about it, really want to play it, can't wait. And not only March 29th does it come, but it comes at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So different. Usually it's like midnight and it ends up being like 9 for some, 3 a.m., you know what I mean, for the others. This time it's 7 a.m. So no matter what or who you are, or 10 a.m., sorry, 7 for the California. I was already back in the Pacific time. It's coming in the morning for everybody. It isn't, you know, unfair because obviously no one's staying up till 3 a.m. Whereas if midnight, people at least get a chance to taste it real quick. So I like that. I think it's pretty neat. But it's going to be there for you. And I couldn't confirm that, but I do know for sure that this demo includes the first level, the beginning of the game, then up to the first boss. But I don't know. And I got to assume it means it's going to save the data for you. So if you buy the game, you're just going to start right there. Because why else would you showcase, you know, the start up to the first boss and not do that? But I did not see anything that did say your stuff will carry over. So I don't want to say it's for sure. I just assume that's probably the case since most games that do carry over start from the beginning and just get you up to the very first little area, you know, out of the town area or first boss, whatever the case may be. So I'm excited to check it out. Everybody that's previewing it, all over the place. Everyone says it's awesome, but you got some saying, oh no, it's not a Souls like. You're gonna have way more fun. It's way more adventure like attacking. Then you got another article literally right next to it goes, it's a Souls like game for sure. It is definitely not like Devil May Cry. It is Souls like. So you, depending on who you are, I guess it depends on what you think this game is. Maybe it's just like your, what your skill set is when it comes to Souls like games. That's what you're dictating whether it's a Souls like or not. So if you're like me and Matt have gone through Elden Ring, I gotta imagine this will probably be just fine. You'll be just fine.
Yeah, I have to imagine that people who haven't played like character action games or spectacle fighters, now think of those as Souls-like because it does have a skill ceiling. You do have to be pretty good at it, but it's none of those are nearly as punishing as like an Elden Ring or a Dark Souls or a Demon Souls or whatever. So if everything's a Souls-like, but everybody can pretty much play and get through everything, then it wasn't really a Souls-like.
Exactly.
But like you said, I'm excited about it. I'm excited that it drops at 10 a.m. because, I mean, pretty much everybody has Good Friday off, so you can just get in and play it and have a great time on your day off. Yes! I got a scowly face. I got a frowny face. It's a great good time. Just like it's a great good time to be, well, like either side of this deal, I suppose. If you're Embracer Group, you got some money, which you have been desperately needing. And if you're Take-Two and 2K, you have got Gearbox in the palm of your hand officially now, because Embracer has divested themselves of Gearbox publishing, of Gearbox software, but Gearbox has been sold to Take-Two and 2K, which Eric and I said it off air, not a big surprise because 2K was already publishing Borderlands, so they have an existing relationship there. And this finally solves the question, which everybody has said since Embracer's whole, like, acquire everything deal went belly up because they didn't get their Saudi money or whatever it is. What's going to happen with Gearbox? It got sold to Take-Two and 2K, another big giant conglomerate that owns a bunch of stuff. So, I mean, this is just how the world is nowadays. Any thoughts on it, Eric?
Not really. Just that it's already you covered. They already had Borderlands. They already had a relationship in there. So I feel like this was just the easy step. It's just to say, hey, you know, throw us some money. We'll go ahead and, you know, everything will be from you now, published by you. It'll be great. We'll all be able to make the games we want to make because they're costing, you know, a little too much or more than we on our own could put, you know, put up. And I did wonder, though. I was hoping a little bit that they just go back to being self-governed.
Yeah.
Just that way, you know, they could do whatever they want. Whereas I feel like, especially now, because with Embracer, I feel like Embracer wasn't going to tell them what to do. They were just like, hey, make games and try to make us money. I feel like Take-Two is going to be like, hey, no. Here's what makes money. You're going to produce this and this and this. If you want to try something, that's fine, but it needs to be right here. So I think they're going to end up a lot more structured, and Borderlands, the thing that's making the money, is going to become kind of the primary, and we're just going to see less and less any adventure or new things from them in the future.
Yeah, pessimistic me 100% agrees with you, because when you think of Take-Two, what do you think of? You think of like Rockstar and Grand Theft Auto, and oh gosh, they've been milking Grand Theft Auto Online for 6 decades at this point, a million years. You think of 2K, what do I think of? I think of sports games. I think of the WWE games. What do those do? Oh, they make you buy virtual currency. Well, they don't make you, but that's their moneymaker. Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll churn out another one and buy more VC, just like Madden with the Ultimate Team stuff. So could be good, could be bad. I'm hoping it's nothing but good. Just like when they got acquired by Embracer, hopefully it's just good stuff, allows them to make what they want. But I have a feeling that it's going to be, like you said, less adventurous stuff. There's going to be no Nuke and Duke, because Nuke and Duke doesn't sell. Only Duke Nukem 3D sells, because people know what that is. So make Duke Nukem 3D 30th anniversary, not just 20th anniversary. Do a 25th, then do a 30th, then do Borderlands 2 Classic Remastered Upscaled 4K now, then do Borderlands 2 Classic Upscaled Remastered 8K, and then I'll buy some cosmetics. You can buy some cosmetics from the cosmetic store. Who knows? Hopefully good stuff, but pessimistic me says hopefully good stuff.
Well, we do know 2 games. We already know the next Borderlands is in development right now.
Yep.
So Borderlands 4 is being made. We know that. And we also know that a sequel to Tiny Tina's is apparently being made as well. So you're getting those two for sure. After that, who the hell knows? I mean, we know. No, we don't know. We don't know. You know, Brothers in Arms game.
You know, I wasn't even going to mention it. But it was in, there. People said it on Twitter in the comment section.
Yeah,
they said, hey, maybe we'll finally get that goddamn Brothers in Arms game that's been in development for 20 years.
20 years?
No, we won't. No. You know what? I'm turning the corner on everything. You can't mention Breath of Fire or Dead Space anymore.
Okay.
So I can't mention Brothers in Arms. It's dead. It's gone. It's never coming back again. There's no hope. So if it ever did come back again, I would just blow my top in excitement. I would jump to the rooftops and jump off the roof. It'd be great. But there's no hope. I can't hold out hope for that anymore. It's over. Project 1v1, what happened to you? Where are you at?
Well, yeah, what were you? Well, where are you going to be? We'll never know. Or maybe we will. Maybe we'll dig deep and get one of them devs to come talk to us and tell us all about what that was going to be. Except for they most assuredly cannot say anything about it, because it could someday turn into a property. And at that point, we'd all be screwed.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to be 100% optimistic, man, pie in the sky. Jones Battleborn 2 is coming now. It's funded. You could have it launched free to play and buy a virtual Battleborn currency to get you some Battleborn cosmetics and get it all.
You know,
don't shake
well
your head at me. This is pie in the sky, McJones.
Overwatch is plummeting into the abyss. You think this right now, they're like, you know what? This is our chance. We're going to come up with the
That's why. See, Overwatch kicked and stole Battleborn's cookies. So now when Overwatch is just falling off a cliff, Battleborn's going to come along, and while it's hanging by the little sapling, Battleborn will come with its little axe and go, whip! Now we're the top dog for the 5 seconds that any hero shooter lasts.
Yeah,
in
you know
the
Marvel's
world
doing it right now. Marvel Rivals. They're making
That's,
a hero
yes,
shooter.
Yes, I saw that
so
today, yeah.
Then now they'd have to compete with Marvel. So I don't know. You know, that is a good idea. I don't know. Maybe just stay away from it at this point. Do something else in the Battleborn universe, but make an adventure game or go old school. Make a 2D, you know, sprite-based game based in Battleborn's universe. We've said this before on the show. Go a different route with the Battleborn universe. Don't try the hero shooter again, because that world is dying, I think.
Now, obviously, I'm so entrenched in it now that this is all I think about. But I was like, what else could you do? You're talking about like a 2D shooter type of thing. I was thinking, what about like an RTS or something? You'd have to have like each of the, you know, you got the four factions.
Oh, yeah.
Each of those people could be a general. So now I'm thinking like, you could do like a unicorn overlord type of thing.
And they have all the units. They have all the units established with the baddies, et cetera.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but you could do that like a hero RTS type of thing. Or like I said, Unicorn Overlord style. This is Gaul's unit. He's got these two Peacekeeper in the backside. He's got one Peacekeeper up with him. He's going up against LLC for something, or just pick your people. And I got Cleese over here with Galt, and I got Thorn, and we're going with Miko, and we're going to rush the base. You know, that kind of stuff. Yep. You could do something really cool with
obviously that. Obviously, tons of different generic troops, just troop, you know, LCC troops, et cetera. Oh, yeah, yeah. You could do a lot with that. You honestly really could. And then you could even invent more types of the Varelsi because they're just, weird monster-like creatures. So you could create any kind you needed to go ahead and put up some competition and or make people have to think and about their strategies while facing said units, you know. And you've got already a ton of versatility with your main characters, you know, with Galt and Phoebe and you know, everybody. They've all got vastly different ways to play and attack and heal and support, etc. So
you can make, like, legendary Varelsi, like, generals, essentially, that you have to go up against their troops for a few different maps before their unit actually comes on the field and they have this specialty. Because you can do whatever you want with them. We've seen them in one way, but who's to say there's not some kind of actual hierarchy? It can't just be Rendane. It can't just be him at the top.
Yeah, no. And even if he was the top, there had to have been others, you know, that are segue to him and sideways to him, which I feel like there were, and I'm just not thinking of it in my head at the moment. But either way, there's a lot going on, a lot you could do, and it doesn't have to be a hero shooter. And you could bring that universe back, which you've already done tons of artwork for, tons of, you know, legwork for, with getting the characters established, voices, attitudes, mentalities, framework, just in general, a lot of stuff's already been done.
And didn't this happen like once before? Because the Varelsi were gone. So you could even just go back in time, like Battleborn Zero, and do like the first time this happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could do an infinite number of things. You could retell the same story. You could do a prequel story. You could do a sequel story.
And the sequel's set up, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's already set up. It's right there. So there you go. There's another $1 million bunker buster idea for your boys here at Third Shift. If you're not going to do Nuke and Duke, then goddamn do the Battleborn RTS hero units type of thing. Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it. And that's it, man. We did it. Another day done.
We did do it. So what about you out there in podcast listener land? What have you seen from PAX East? Did you go to PAX East? Are you out there right now and you're like, dude, you don't even know how cool it is? Tell us how cool it is via the email, thirdshiftme@gmail.com, on the Twitter machine at thirdshiftme. Find us on Facebook under Third Shift. Hit up the Discord, the Patreon. Hit up a stream. I might be streaming tomorrow if things are still going right and everything's going great. You know what? Come to my house in the middle of the stream. Jump on the stream with me. Get me to, like, plug my camera into the PS5 and we could, like, duo stream. We'll be drinking beers, eating sausages. I don't know. We could braid each other's hair. You could get a really work to get mine, though. But, you know, do any of that stuff. It's great.
You could do all that, or you could head over to Patreon, throw a few bucks our way, because if you did that, if enough people were throwing enough bucks that way, me and Matt could go investigate PAX East next time, and we could tell you it's actually got a lot of cool stuff, or we could say, nope, it's just some games and nothing too crazy. We could do that for you. We could be the eyes and ears, feet on the ground, happening. Just need you to head over there, throw a few bucks in, to keep us rocking and rolling and keep us able to do stuff just like that. But if you can't, and you're like, no, I can't afford that. You know what? The eggs over here, they're like $4.90. You can't do anything with eggs or $4.90? I can't. Sorry. I get it. I do, truly. You can, though, give us the 5-star ratings on the iTunes, give us the 5-star ratings on the Spotify's, because you know what those things do? Those get more people to check out the show, and maybe they are rich. Maybe they won the lotto. Maybe that Jersey guy, he would see it, and he'd watch. He'd be like, God bless, I got 540 million. What do I do? I'll give them a million of it. Why not? What the hell do I care? Boom. Changes everything. That's what you could do for us with a click of the button.
So you're talking about groceries got me sad. There's a brand of cottage cheese I always get because it's always good. It was like $6 the last time I went there. And I went, you can't. This was like $3 and it was expensive at $3.
Yeah.
Now it's like $6. But you know what? You brought me back out because you talked about getting $1 million from a mystery man in New Jersey. I will do the New Jersey accent. I'll do the New Jersey podcast. We'll be doing it up. I'll put a little gold chain on here. I'll be wearing a wife beater. Out there in New Jersey, I'll be your brother. We will do it. We'll do it up. And if you can't do that, then at least listen to the very next episode, which will be dropping on or around the 4th of April. Eric's going to be very excited and exuberant and very energized for that one. It's going to be good. I'm not trying to dig at him. I'm just saying it'll be a short episode because it'll be a quarter end episode probably. But you can find it on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Podbean, on Spotify, and on YouTube. And as I always say, hey, if you like what we're doing, you'd like to help us out, please give us a like, a rating, a review, a comment, a subscription, any kind of good thing on any one of those good services, because it does help us out and we really do appreciate it.
Indeed we do. We appreciate it so very much. Everybody, you all are the best. You are absolutely fantastic. Keep being you, doing what you do, and listen next time to what we got to say here on Third Shift, and give us that 5-star rating that I'm always begging for. Just go do it. Come on. Help me help you. Help me help you. Come on.
Yeah, with that, there's nothing else to say but cha-chow. Don't forget to say baby.
Shut up and sit down.
Hey, don't forget to save over here.
And we're Long Island.
Give me that money. I'm from Brooklyn, but it's Jersey. That's good.
Yeah, whatever. I was in Jersey, man. Walked down the
street.
That's
right, you were. Yeah. You see the girls with the big teased up hair? Big hair girls.
Yeah.